standing one day, looking out on life's sea, and I saw in the distance she was coming for me. I heard laughter and singing the closer she came. 'Twas the old ship of Zion my soul to claim. If the captain he met me with arms open wide, and he ever so gently took me inside, he said, "Son, I've been waiting just to take you on board. Now I'm anxious to show you your eternal reward. I'm so happy it's over. I'm so glad I made it through. If it wasn't for Jesus..."
I'm going to share a few minutes of that with you.
I don't know what I do.
What music is?
It's been worth all the sorrow that I've suffered down here.
Oh, glory.
Just to see all the beauties He's prepared.
I'll come back to that beautiful song. I really do love it. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast, radio, internet, Facebook. I don't know, everywhere we can get to, we bring you wonderful truths out of this holy Bible. This Bible is a grand book. I guess you know that. This Bible is a grand book. I never get tired of studying this holy Bible. I live in it. I love it. It's my book. It's my life. Now, today, I want you to hear the subject we're going to deal with. Hopefully, if you are watching Facebook, you've already seen that subject. And it really is kind of breathtaking to me. The treasure book in the Father's hand. The treasure book in the Father's hand. Now, if I can get you today to discover and learn and remember what this book is all about, it'll change your life. I mean, it will change your life. The treasure book in the Father's hand. Let me read a verse or two so you get the setting. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. This is God the Father sitting on the throne in the heavenlies, where the saints of God are gathering, all the host of heaven, seraphims, cherubims, all the archangels, the servant angels. I mean, it's a multitude. The Holy Ghost is there. The Son of God is there in a unique form, but the Father is on the throne. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Now listen, no man was found in heaven, neither under the earth. Listen. Was able. No man was found, not in earth, neither under the earth, who was able, neither under the earth. Now notice that. Who was able to open the book and to look thereon. Couldn't open. Couldn't look. Couldn't touch it. Amen. Couldn't look at it even. That's even bigger than couldn't touch it. No man. And I wept. John just fell into sobs. John was weeping and crying, and no man was found. And I wept much because no man was found to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. First he said not to look upon. No man was found to open or to look upon. Now, you're talking about a book of such treasure that John in heaven now been caught up, been caught up. He's there before the throne. He sees it all in a great vision, like a great like a great revelation to him, and he's weeping because nobody was found to open that book. Now you are talking about a treasure book, the treasure book in the hands of the Father. That's the name of this broadcast. And there's seven things I'm going to try to show you about this book, okay? Number one, this book has been the sole possession of the Heavenly Father. Nobody else. The sole possession of the Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ has never looked upon nor touched this book. The Son of God. You're talking about proof of the Trinity. Oh boy, is this proof of the Trinity. Jesus Christ has never looked upon nor touched the book. It is the title deed of a lost possession. In this book, this treasure book, has within it all the divine title deed of everything that's been lost because of sin, Adam and Eve, everything that's happened contrary to the minded will of God. This book is ready. It is the possession of title to change it all and to turn it back to where it was when God created it all in the book of Genesis. You're talking about a book. You're talking about treasure. You're talking about majesty. This is it. Now, everything that must be done, that must occur to redeem the total cosmos, everything that must be done to redeem the total cosmos is in this treasure book. Everything in this treasure book. Now, one of the highlights of this book is the coronation of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The coronation of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Christ himself, long ago, had been commissioned by the Father to prepare a bridal city. A bridal city. That's New Jerusalem. It's still in heaven. And Jesus knows about it. He's been there. He made it. The Father commissioned him to make it. It is the city. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, that's the bride. For you. That's the bride. Now, don't forget this. I want you to understand, this book is absolutely the death warrant for the devil and all of his fallen angels, every ungodly man or woman, everything of satanic touch and of satanic reach, everything that represents the old devil and his power. Brother, it is right there in this redemptive book. You're talking about a treasure book. Are you understanding what a treasure that even God the Father alone was the sole possessor? And that they had to cry out for somebody worthy to open the book. And as we go on, you will see there was someone there, someone in a unique form, not as we would think of them, but as redemption would demand of them. Standing there, and John hears the word and sees the picture. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, is there, right there. And he is ready to go up to the Father and take this treasure book and start the process of redemption. You're talking about a picture that probably no picture in the Bible is more fantastic than this picture. It is really overwhelming. Now, I'm not bringing you some dream of some crazy man today. This is a picture that I think would fit with anybody who believes in prophecy in the book of Revelation, the pre-trib rapture. It is such a picture. You see, the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5 are synonymous with the book of Revelation chapter 12. They happen simultaneously. In chapter 12, you see the devil cast out of the midair. And in chapter 4 and 5, you see the saints move into the midair. The very place that Satan right now occupies, we will soon occupy. And we'll be there for a celebration. We'll be there for a marriage supper. We'll be there to watch the proceedings upon the earth of 7 years tribulation. We'll be there to get ready to ride those white horses and come back with Christ at the end of those 7 years. Now, this is a lot of material. And you've heard me. And the book that I'm going to give you today has all of this in it. You'll be able to study it and dig through it and look for anything in it that you can find that don't fit the muster of the Scripture. You're not going to find it, I don't think, but I welcome you to look for it. I welcome you to look for it. And I'll send you the free book, The Ladies That Take Your Name, for that. Now, I'm here today to study this with you. I don't want to limit you to this. I promise through this year, I'm going to be open to anything that you need to hear and you need to learn, because we are in the end time. We are down at the closure. The time of the coming of the Lord is at the door. I expect Jesus to come in this year of 2017. Now, I don't set dates, so I don't know when he's coming. I just know the Father knows, and the Father will tell him when it's time to come. But I do know this. The Holy Ghost has said to me that the year 2017 is the year of the bride. Not the year the bride leaves, but the year the bride gets ready. The Lord is moving by the Holy Ghost all over the church world to get the bride ready. There is a movement of the Spirit taking place. I have no doubt about it. I feel it way down to my inner being that the Holy Spirit is reaching for you to get you out of your lethargy, out of your lukewarm condition, out of your backslid state, out of your loss of first love. You left it. You didn't lose it. Sorry about that. Out of the fact that you've left your first love. You got a vessel that used to have oil, but now you are one of the five foolish virgins, and you're not ready for the call to the wedding supper. And he's going to come and catch you without that oil. You may say, well, I'm living good. That's good. I'm glad you're living good. But you got to have the oil of the lamp. He said it. I didn't. I mean, go argue with Jesus. Well, you can't argue with Jesus. You know the book of Matthew 25, very plain. 10 foolish, 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The wise virgins went in with him to the marriage. The 5 foolish went looking, found oil, come back ready, but too late. Do you know there'll be a multitude that get ready in the last minute, too late. After the trumpet has sounded, it'll be too late to get ready. If you miss that trumpet, then you just have to go through the tribulation and get ready and see the door shut. And then you've got to make your way for 7 years or however long you live. You probably won't live long if you really get ready. You get right with God, the Antichrist will hunt you down and get rid of you. You say, I'll go to church. The last thing you want to do is go to a church after the rapture, because it'll be false churches everywhere. There may be some good churches for a little while, but they won't last long. They'll be shut down, I promise you. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to be late, and I don't want you to miss it. Now, the phone number, 704-391-0588. You got that? 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number is 1-800. I'll put it up for you just a moment. I'm not going to leave it up this time. I have a tendency to do that, and you know, and then I'll leave it up, and I don't go back like I should, so let me put it up here, and you can have the number. Write them down, 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884, and you can send emails to my website, and I'll go there in a little bit, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I want today to have one of those programs that's just kind of one of the best. We got ladies here ready to answer the phones for you. You can start calling now. I'd love to answer your question. Let's get your question before it gets too busy, and I don't really have a lot of time, okay? Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, Reverend Chambers, you know, is your friend. I have no care for anything but the kingdom, for whatever your need is, and for somehow helping people get ready for that coming of the Lord. We are so close to the door. We're so close to the moment. At any minute now, he could come. And if you're not ready, it's going to be too late. And so grab your prayer place first. Get you a place to pray till heaven comes down. Sets your soul on fire. Till you know you're full of the Spirit of God. The oil is burning. The fire is bright and the joy is sweet. And your commitment to the Bible is abandoned. He is the center of all. And it won't take you long to get ready if you get serious. that really want. I'm preaching tomorrow. I really like this. I'm preaching tomorrow on the wedding in the sky. The wedding in the sky. There's a picture on Facebook that I found that looks like a wedding celebration, a location for the banquet, and it looks like it's in the sky. And I went crazy over that picture because I can't wait to get there. I am so anxious to go. Oh, man. I'll be 81 Thursday. Did you know that? This coming Thursday, 81. I tell you what, it's been a wonderful joy. Got saved when I was 16. 16. 65 years in March. You know, it's a joy to serve the Lord. I don't know whether you understand that or not, but it's a joy to serve the Lord. The happiest people in the world are godly people, righteous people, people living a clean, holy life. You say, I don't want to hear that word holiness. Well, you don't want to go up in the rapture then, because without it, you're not going. And if you could go without it and got there, you'd be miserable. All these holiness people, all these godly folks everywhere. And what would you look like in the midst of them without the wedding garment? No, you won't make it. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're talking about something grander than words can describe. We're talking about something more wonderful than you'll ever grasp or understand. And you've got this old preacher man here. I've been here 44 years now, just trying my best to tell it to you like it is, loving you, tender, gentle. I'm not putting nobody down. I'm just praying for the great move of God. Now, let's go back to the Bible. Grab your phone. The phone's open. Lines are open. Four lines. You grab the phone. Don't wait. If you believe in the marriage supper, and you believe in this great fifth chapter of Revelation, and you believe in this book, in the Father's hand, this treasure book that Jesus takes from the Father, in chapter 6, he begins to open up the seals of the book. And all through Revelation, you've got this book being acted out in great, great events. John saw it as visions. We'll see it and be there literally. We'll see it and be there literally. And you talk about something grand. You just can't name something grander than to be a part of this book of Revelation when it is being fulfilled, when everything in it is being transacted on the literal planes of heaven, the means of God the Father and God the Son and God the sweet Holy Ghost. Well, grab your phone. I'm waiting on you. I want to go back. You may have joined later. You usually have people that don't get there the first 2 or 3, 10 minutes. And so I'm going to give this to you again. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much," John said, "because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Couldn't open it, couldn't read it, and couldn't look thereon. Nobody. Nobody. They searched through the heavens. They searched under the heavens. They searched everywhere there was a searchable place, and nobody was found. And one of the elders saith unto John, unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." John saw Jesus and heard this angel say, "Behold, behold." No, it was an elder, one of the elders. Wasn't a saint, was one of the elders. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, all the saints, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits, 7 eyes, 7 horns first, and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now, we know that's the Holy Spirit. We know the description of 7 horns and 7 eyes is but a description of his omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience. That the Holy Ghost is all that God needs, and he sent him forth in the earth. And now there he is with the bride, and they are before the throne of God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, I'll go back to that in a little bit, but I want first to make sure you understand what you are hearing. Is anybody out there that doesn't understand that, that has a question that you need to ask? I'm here for you to ask that. You say, Brother Chambers, I'm afraid I'll sound foolish. Well, that's okay. This is an incredible subject. It's big. It's overwhelming. A treasure book in the Father's hands. But I want you to get it. I want you to take it with you to your church and get your preacher to preach it. I mean, if people would understand things like this in their Bible study, it would change their life. I mean, most preachers preach little, you know, popcorn and candy stuff. I mean, it's stuff that is okay. People tell me my preacher preaches good things. He talks about the family. He talks about your personal life. He talks about how you should act. He talks, and I said, but what does he not preach? Look for what he don't preach instead of just what he does preach. Because the Bible says, preach the whole counsel of God. I have an obligation. He has an obligation. They have an obligation. It don't matter who it is, to preach the whole counsel of God. Nothing in this counsel that we must not preach. Now, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. 704-391-0588. I want to make sure. I really want to make sure that you get on the phones, and I want your question. I want them badly. I really do. I want your question badly because I want to help you grasp all of this subject. It is just that overwhelming. It is just that overwhelming. I love the Bible. The Bible is an incredible book. And when you get into the Bible and you begin to understand it and grasp it. I'm trying to get to my emails. Forgive me here. Where's my email? Come on, John. I believe I found it here. Give me a minute to see if there's any emails. I want you to have your question answered because I want this subject to go home with you. I want it to stay with you. I want it to get in your mind. I want you to understand we're getting so close. We're getting so close that here we see the vision of Jesus before the throne and all the bride of Christ. They've already been raptured. They've been caught up. And they in the great heavens above, and it's a breathtaking picture. It's a breathtaking place. I mean, it is overwhelming. It really is overwhelming. And just to think of being there is an overwhelming thought. It really is. Now, I want to answer your question because I want you to understand this subject. I want you to get this great picture of this treasure book in the Father's hand until you can feel with your fellow Christians and your Bible study people and maybe even with your pastor, maybe even your Sunday school class, and you can get into the heart of this thing and begin to learn the great things that are available to you in the kingdom of God. And to learn these great depthful things. Most people have nothing in their life but the milk of the word. And that's why they're just baby Christians. You can never grow up and become a mature Christian if you don't get some meat of the word in your life. It is impossible. And I presume I have no emails here that seems to have come. I would love to answer any email you send. I will do my best to answer your question. And I think I can. And I think I will be a blessing to you if I answer it. But you must ask it first if I'm going to answer. So let's get back here to the picture. I like to see it all. I really do. And so I'm waiting for your question. Grab your phone. Let's hear from you. Very quickly, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to answer your question. I want to be a blessing to you. I really do. I want to be a blessing to you. I want you to learn the value of this book. Now, I did something else in preparation for this program. Because I mean, sometimes people want to get on subjects like this, they don't know what to ask. And I've given you plenty to ask, but you may not ask it. Now, remember, Revelation chapter 4 and 5 is synonymous with Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 is when Satan is thrown out of heaven. That happens at the same time that we rise up into heaven. as we go up in the rapture, old Satan is thrown out, because the place where he now occupies, we will soon occupy. Do you understand that? That's where all these great proceedings will take place. The Bible speaks of a sea of glass. That's this vast expanse beyond measure, where multitudes of saints and angels, all of the great participants in the end time scenarios are all gathered up in the heavens. And the Bible says even the wicked in chapter 6 can look up and see the Father on his throne, because they cry out, "Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Do you understand this? How many of you out there have ever even heard this preached? You say, "I haven't." Well, if you bought my book, the Masterpiece, you'd have it to study. But I'll give you this booklet that has this chapter beautifully laid out for you so you can take it home with you. Now, here are some things that happen. First, I told you that chapter 4 and 5 is simultaneous with chapter 12. Now, Satan will be cast out, and the bride of Christ, along with the host of heaven, will gather together in the great expanse that we now know as the midair. Satan is the prince of the power of the midair. He will cease to be the prince of the power of the midair when he's cast out in chapter 12. And chapter 4 and 5 is a simultaneous picture when we are caught up into the same realm where Satan is cast out of. Okay? Oh, devil, don't you know how mad he's going to be when he sees us there in his place? Do you understand this week and the last few weeks how angry the Democrats are to see the Republicans in a conservative form take over the government of Washington? They're not quite there yet. Friday's the day. But I'm telling you, they're close. They're close. And you're talking about an angry crowd. Well, that's going to be the same picture we're going to see after we're caught up to heaven. And after we fill the midair with our presence and the great raptured crowd and the great a host of angels and cherubims and seraphims. Ah, what a crowd. I mean, it's going to be grand, folks. It's going to be grand. And you're talking about an angry devil. The Bible says he comes down to the earth. He's cast out into the earth with great wrath, knowing he hath but a short season. We're actually seeing a typical picture in Washington of what's going to happen in the midair. We're seeing a typical picture. Isn't that amazing? Oh, now, boy, I made somebody angry. I felt that. Wow. I know. I love you, even though you don't like Trump and you don't like what's happening. There's a multitude of us that do, and we're going to be kind to you, and we want you to be kind to us, okay? We don't make you. We can't make you. Anybody that's in the wrong is always more apt to get angry than people in the right. People who know what's right and do it, they don't get angry with people who are in the wrong. They pray for them. They love them. They keep sharing with them. They keep caring about them. That's how we feel. That's how Christians should always feel. Are you listening to me? Are you really listening to me? Let me hear from you now. 704-391-0588. The lines are all open. I do not understand why you haven't already called. It seems like to me you'd have a question you just won't answer. You know, you just want to know more about this treasure book in the Father's hand that even Jesus had never touched. And here in front of the great bridal company, the host of the raptured saints, the host of the angels, the Lamb proceeds to the Father and takes this book. This book is the redemptive process of the whole cosmos. This earth is going to be returned to its rightful owners. Do you understand that? Its rightful owners, the great saints of the living God. Oh, friend, we've got so much in front of us that we ought to be jumping up and down and shouting. You heard that song, "The Old Ship of Zion." It's coming. I said that old ship of Zion is coming. Now, I'm going to give you the numbers one more time. 704-391-0588. Now grab a phone. I want to hear your answer. And if you don't know what to ask, and I understand, I'm thinking give you, let me wait a minute. Now you heard what I said about Satan being cast out of the midair and us going up and possessing the same location where the devil did reign. It'll be cleansed in the process, I promise you, because Jesus is coming all the way down into the midair to rapture us right up into the midair, right up into the second heavens. And his throne will be set in the second heavens. And he'll get ready for the proceedings of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation and the seven sealed book is like a great legal document. It's like a great picture of a redemptive process. It's like the great picture of God's plan to turn this whole cosmos back into the kingdom of God on earth. To set up his presence on this earth. To set up his kingdom on this earth. Friend, this is so breathtaking. It is overwhelming. Overwhelming. I mean, I get excited. The kingdom of God will be established on this earth. And that's why Jesus comes into the midair. That's why Jesus Christ raptures us up. There's this great celebration, those great redemptive processes. The cleansing starts on the earth with chapter 6 when the horse riders come forth in great judgment. And for 7 years, this earth will be judged to a very nth degree. Nth degree. So that when Jesus comes back on that white horse with all the saints riding with him, we will set up the kingdom on the earth. And so we meet in the midair with Christ and all the angels, the great host. We go up and meet in the midair. And then at the end of the 7 years, Jesus leads us and we come back to the earth. We come back to set up the kingdom. So that's the process. And it all begins in chapter 4 and 5. This book has the recordings of all that event, all that's going to happen, all that will take place, all that will take place. In that book is even the record of the white throne, the white throne judgment that will end and come after the 1,000-year kingdom reign on the earth. You see, the kingdom reign, the 1,000-year kingdom reign is a Sabbath of the earth, a Sabbath, 6 years. 6,000 years, I should say. We now are coming to the conclusion of somewhat. The Jewish calendar says we're not there yet. The regular calendar that came out of Rome says we're a little past it. I prefer to believe the Jewish calendar. I prefer to believe we are at the edge of the end of the 6,000 years. And it's almost time for the Sabbath of rest on the face of this whole earth. 1,000-year Sabbath of rest to finish the 6,000 years of human depravity and human sinfulness and human wreckage and human tribulation and human darkness. Oh, friend, listen to me. And we come then to the kingdom of God on the earth. All wickedness, every ounce of wickedness, every ounce of the dark things of the devil, every ounce of the ugly things that Satan has produced, every ounce of wickedness, every ounce of godlessness, every ounce of sin will be assigned to the lake of fire that happens at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. Everything that is of the devil, everything that is from Lucifer, everybody that submits to him, obeys him, walks with him, loves him, serves him, lives for his world and his worldly kingdom and his worldly transactions, every bit of that will be cast into the lake of fire so that nothing unclean will touch the great kingdom of God. The new heaven and the new earth and new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven will fill this universe and nothing unclean will touch it. Now, let me tell you something that got a hold of me some time ago. That new Jerusalem that comes down at the end of the 7 years. I'm sorry, the end of this, the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. It comes down at the end of that. It comes down to the end of that. The New Jerusalem is the one place on the face of this earth that Satan has never put his footsie. Never has Satan touched the rim of New Jerusalem. When he comes down, it will be of the most perfect purity. Jesus created it for his bride, the great saints of God. As I preach tomorrow on the wedding in the sky, oh, I would love for you to hear that sermon. I really would. I really would. Well, now I'm opening the lines for you to get this booklet you need to study the 5th chapter of Revelation. You won't have any trouble, I don't think. If you do, you can just call. We'll help you. We really will. We want you to learn these great things. 704-391 to get this booklet. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone quickly. Don't wait. The lines are going to be busy in a minute. I believe that. I'm expecting that. I mean, how could you not want to know more about this subject? This treasure book in the Father's hand. This treasure book in the Father's hand. Oh, what a day. What a day that's going to be, saints. What a day that's going to be, saints. Let's see here. Pray for Israel. Pray for Israel's nation of the world are turning against Israel. Pray for Israel and because the nations of the world are turning. I agree with that. I understand that. But they're going to be defeated. I'm here to tell you, God's keeping a record of that. God's keeping a record of that. Every nation that turns against Israel is going to pay. And I mean, they're going to pay so terrible. It's going to be a bit overwhelming. It really is. Now, that's very, very important. Any more questions? I'm here to take them. Thank you for that one. We love to have your questions. We're here to be a blessing to you and to help you learn these great subjects because they are overwhelming. They are overwhelming. I'm here to tell you, they really are overwhelming. I want to hear from you. You are important to me, and I'm here to be a blessing to you. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. I'm kind of amazed. I'm sitting here thinking, you're letting me talk, and you're letting me teach. And I know, I hope you are enjoying it. I believe many of you are. I believe you're learning some things maybe you've never learned. It's amazing to me how little of these things have been made available to the church world. The book of Revelation fits the chef better than it fits somebody's table, you know, or somebody's altar, I should say. But I love it. I know how real it is. I know how grand it is. And you can order my book, by the way, on the masterpiece, word for word of the whole book of Revelation, hardback. A wonderful book. It's gone to a lot of people. It really has. Now, remember, all wicked will be turned and assigned into the devil's hell. New Jerusalem. How many of you know this? That New Jerusalem descends from God out of heaven at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. The city actually comes down, moves out of the realm where God occupies now, where Jesus created it. And it comes down through the midair and settles over the new heaven and the new earth because it will be the capital city. It will be the capital city. It will be the seat or the location of the throne of God. It'll be the place of the grandest glory that represents God in all of His majesty. There is no splendor to match the splendor of that city. It really isn't. No, nothing even close. Nothing even close. Hey, friend, you have the right to inherit all of that. How many of you want that? Let me have some calls of people who just want to be ready to spend eternity in the new heaven, the new earth, and new Jerusalem. How many of you would like to call and just say, hey, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to learn more about this. Call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. The lines are really open. They really are. The lines are open, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. You got that? Or you can call anywhere in the world, 1-800-338-7884. If you call it internationally, you would need to dial an 011, an 011-704-391-0588. And we'll answer your question best we can and help you understand this great picture. Now, at the end of all that is contained in this book, eternity will begin. Eternity will begin. How many of you want to be there? How many of you really look forward to spend an eternity with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the great host of saints, the great host of saints, and what a crowd that's going to be. What a crowd. Now grab your phone. I do want to spend these last two. I can talk till I turn blue, I guess. I preach this word, and I love it. I've been pastor now 60 years this coming October. 60 years this coming October. Couldn't done it without Juanita, my dear wife. But oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, call quickly and get this booklet. I do want to give this to every one of you out there. You can't afford not to get this booklet. You really can't. You must have this booklet. I want to give it to you. You are important to me. And, you know, just being a blessing to you is one of the joys of my life. One of the joys. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother James, I got a question to ask you. It's not 100% on the subject today, but it does.
That's okay.
When Jesus told the thief on the cross, "This day I shall be with me in paradise," he was talking about paradise in the center of the earth where the souls of the Old Testament saints were located. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. See, you read very clear in the Bible that Jesus descended into upper Sheol, Abraham's bosom, he calls it in one place. And he was there preaching for 3 days and three nights. Remember he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights. So he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So if he saw that dying thief, there was no place for him to see him, but in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, in upper Sheol, you can call it. For the righteous dead of the Old Testament, every righteous dead person of the Old Testament, every one of them, except for Enoch and what was his name all the way back? Elijah. Enoch and Elijah. Except for those two, everybody died in the Old Testament and went to Sheol. And they had to wait there until Jesus died on the cross before they could go out of there and go to heaven. And so he went there to preach and minister to those Old Testament saints. Some of them needed to make commitments and make changes. And he went there to take care of the Old Testament saints. And that's where he saw the dying thief.
Well, did their souls go on to heaven right then? Or
No. Their soul and spirit waited in the heart of the earth.
And they're there now, or they are in what we call heaven?
Oh, see, when Jesus was resurrected, when Jesus was resurrected, the whole upper Sheol, or Abraham's bosom, was depopulated. And they all moved to heaven, where now they're waiting for the rapture.
Okay, I got you. So that's where the thief on the cross is also. He's there waiting.
He ascended with Christ and all those Old Testament saints up to heaven. Remember in Matthew 27, where a group of saints in Jerusalem who had been buried, just a small number of them were resurrected the same time Jesus was resurrected and were seen in Jerusalem?
Yes, sir. I know that, right. That's right. Yep.
Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know, they had a little time to be seen in Jerusalem. And I think sometimes that may be typical of a little time we could have when the rapture takes place to witness to a few people as we prepare to ascend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you, that's going to be a wonderful time when that rapture takes place.
Brother, if you could imagine that mystic moment between a natural man living right here on this globe and that change that takes place in the twinkle of an eye, and literally they take on a new body, they take on a glorified body. Those saints who went to heaven have a spirit body by which they can be manifest, can be seen, can be heard, can worship, can enjoy heaven. But they will get their natural body resurrected and glorified when the rapture takes place. And then, can you imagine what it's going to be like to rise up just floating through the air in great speed as we move right up into the midair where the devil has been cast out of, we take over. Did you get me saying that? That the devil right now rules in the midair. He's the prince of the power of the air. But when Jesus comes, the rapture of the saints in chapter 12, simultaneously with chapter 4, the devil is cast out of the midair and we take over the place that he did reign.
Yes, sir. I understand that. And plus, when all that happens, we will not be able to sin anymore or not be tempted to sin. Is that correct?
There will be no natural body for the saints of God.
I got you. That's good.
There will be no sin body. There will be no pain body. There will be nothing of the human. We will have glorified bodies. We won't sin because we won't want to sin. There won't be no tempter there to tempt us to sin. There won't be no wickedness. Righteousness will cover the earth, the Bible says, as the waters cover the sea.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. And the bad part about it, so much of the world is going to miss it.
Well, most of the church is going to miss it.
I know.
I'm sorry to tell you, but everybody that I know knows that much of our church is just sitting and watching and listening and hearing. And if you get the right kind of move, they'll have a little spiritual, moment. And they'll act a little spiritual. They'll feel a little moving in the air. But people who go in that rapture are going to be saints of God, my brother. They're going to be godly people. If you don't have on the wedding garment, you can't go.
Right.
Yep. And I'm trying my best to teach it to people. I did a Bible study yesterday. I don't know where you see my Bible studies on Facebook, but I'm having great response from them. The one Friday a week ago got over 900 visits before. Well, it's still getting visits, about 950 or 60, I'm not sure. But the one yesterday is in between 300 and 400. And I'm trying to teach people. I'm trying to just stir them up to the core. But most people don't want to be stirred. They're enjoying the world. They're enjoying ball games and movie pictures and worldly junk on television, and a lot of times just plain old filth. And they're loving the world. I believe if you go in the rapture, the Bible says, unto them that love his appearing, he shall appear.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Well, I appreciate what you just told me, all that information. I hope you have a happy birthday.
Can you imagine, 81 years old? I guess I look, people tell me I got a face for radio. And they mean by that it's not very good for screen. But, I just give my best. I love my master. I belong to Jesus with all I am. I'm still looking for other questions, and nobody seems to have any today. I don't know where they are, but it would look like to me that people would want to be in the middle of this, learning everything they could learn, and getting ready, because it's almost over.
Yeah, you got that right. It's almost over. It could happen any moment.
God bless you, brother. Yes. Love you.
Appreciate it.
Now, what is your question out there? What would you like to know more about relative to this? It don't have to be right on this subject. It can be on anything in Revelation or from Genesis to Jude. As far as I'm concerned, I want you to learn the whole Bible. The Bible said every man shall, not every man, said man shall live by bread alone. Shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friend, it's time to live by this whole word. It's time to live by this whole book. And I'm just kind of begging you. What can I do but say, don't wait. Don't be careless. Don't play games. Don't get all caught up in this world. The world doesn't have... How do you enjoy the world knowing that you're missing enjoying the kingdom of God? How do you enjoy all this foolishness out there that people are caught up in? Now, I don't know. But I want to give you this now. I want to stir you up. And I'm giving it to everybody that calls. Grab the phone. The ladies are standing by. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Our toll-free number is, that was the toll-free number. Our regular number is 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Want to hear from you now. I really do. I'd love to have questions these last 12, 14 minutes. I want to help you. I've given you so much good stuff. I have laid it on you. I poured it on you. I think it's good. I know it's good. I know it's right out of the book. And it's thrilling when you think of all these great things and these great teachings, these wonderful doctrines. Let me read on a little further here while I'm waiting for you to call. If I might, let me take you here. See where we go. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, listen, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, when this happens in heaven, up in the midair, and the Lord Jesus takes the book, and that great crowd of raptured saints and all the angelic hosts worship, the Bible says they take harps and begin to play music. And they then take vials of odors. What are those vials of odors? They're the prayers of the saints. I was praying here Thursday night. I didn't come to church to pray last night, but one of my youth minister supposedly did. But I did Thursday night, and man, I had a prayer. The Holy Ghost of God overshadowed me, praying with the Spirit of God with the sweet anointing. It was grand. It was absolutely grand. Well, those prayers are being contained. They're being prepared and kept, my friend. And they're going to be opened up. And they're going to be part of the great event of God's great event. And it's soon to happen. It really is. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Brother Chambers, there was a program on about 2 weeks ago that was by the Presbyterian Church. And the subject was Bible prophecy. And most folks know that they don't really teach Bible prophecy as such. They were interviewing one of the presidents of the theological seminary. And what he said right off, he went into the book of Revelation, and he said that the millennial thousand years reign only mentioned one time. That's about all he said. But what he didn't tell the people, they are preterists. They don't believe the book of Revelation is even relevant today.
Yes.
It's fulfilled.
Everyone that I've ever talked to doesn't believe the literalness of the book of Revelation at all. They believe mostly it's preterist. Some is postmillennialist. There's so many different ideas that they have that I can't keep up with them. But they just don't believe what I'm teaching. I mean, what I'm teaching is just a waste of time.
Yes, and don't you think there are millions of churchgoers in America that are under that kind of a ministry? It's pitiful.
Well, it's the biggest thing out there today. We, like me, who preach the pre-trib rapture, who preach the literalness of Revelation as I've been doing today, they really think that we've just missed it utterly. The book of Revelation is symbolic. It's just a lot of symbolism. It is a picture of triumph over error. A symbolic picture of triumph over error. They have no grasp of it as literal. Now, let me show you something that proves how literal it is. Go to Revelation chapter 1, and then you'll see it all through the book of Revelation, one vision after the other. I mean, this is what, I mean, verse 2 says, and it's Revelation 1 and 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Now John was shown a great play, just acted out by the great angels and God's divine order. And he saw it. He didn't just hear words. He saw the action of all these things. Now you're telling me that God did all of that for John to show him a bunch of symbolism? He could have said that in 10 words.
Yes.
It's crazy.
What this professor or this theological seminary president was telling people, he doesn't believe in an antichrist, no rapture, no thousand years reign of Christ. And
so he actually said those things.
Well, he didn't say it, but you knew, anybody that knew the book knew what he really teaches, you know. But he had the audacity to say that he denied the thousand years reign of Christ, saying that it's only mentioned one time in the book of Revelation.
Does God need to say something 10 times to mean it? Well, God don't talk out one side of his head or one side of his mouth.
Oh,
God,
I know it.
God says what he means.
Glad, Brother Chambers, that you know the truth and ready to meet the Lord. It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? I'm amazed. See, I live in the day. I'm a Pentecostal. And when the charismatic movement started about 30 to 35 years ago, I would go and visit some of their events. And I saw that it was a lot of hoopla. It just didn't have any realness to it. Well, today, most charismatics are post-millennialist. They believe in, they call it kingdom dominion theology. And I mean the same thing. You take this guy down at the PTL place. What's his name? I'm not even saying it all of a sudden. He writes in his book that the rapture teaching was the most terrible thing that could have ever been taught, because it made people quit trying to possess the earth. Well, I don't want to possess this earth until he gets through with it and cleans it up and makes a holy place out of it, and then we will possess it. But it's the teaching from one end to the other. I can't even say his name. I'm sorry about that. I get too many things on my mind. But Robinson, that started TBN. Oh, he taught years ago. Kingdom Dominion, he was against the pre-trib rapture. I mean, I have that written in his own writings. And I warned people over 30 years ago that he was into the New Age movement. And it was not biblical. But people would not hear. And so now we got a church world full of people that don't understand anything about this book of Revelation.
Yes, that's so true.
Isn't it sad?
Yes, it is.
It is sad. God bless you. Been a joy. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. I would that everybody out there would get in here and try to understand. I think a lot of this is over your head because you've never been taught it. And here comes a little, you know, me. And I've been awfully criticized at times by many. And that's okay. I don't mind. That's good for me. Keeps me broken. But I want to tell you that this Bible is literal. This book of Revelation is just as literal as the book of John. This book of Revelation is just as literal as the book of John, as the book of Matthew, as the book of Acts, as the book of Corinthians. I mean, and you don't want to deny the book of Revelation, because if you do, you are in trouble. Let me tell you, while the phone is ringing, and I hope you get this booklet. I really do. I want everybody out there to have a copy of it. I want everybody out there to have a copy of it. It'll be on the internet, and it will be shipped to anybody that wants it. And anybody that we have your email, and you get our regular weekly emails, you'll get it. But I want everybody to have it. But listen to this. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Now, God called it prophecy. He didn't call it symbolism. He called it prophecy. God shall take away his part out of the book of life. The book of life, brother, that's where your name has to go if you're saved. And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. Now that's the 19th verse of chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. So, if you deny it, you can, but you all pay the price. I promise you, you'll pay the price. Now, I'm waiting on you. Please call. The phone is ringing some. We want you to have this booklet. We really do. All about chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. The treasure book in the hands of the Father. That's what it's all about. The treasure book in the hands of the Father. My friend, we're living in an exciting hour. I mean, we're on the verge. We're on the verge. This is the year of the bride. Are you listening to me? Are you going to be ready? I'm asking all of you listening, Facebook, internet, radio, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to go up in that rapture when that trumpet sounds? Are you going to be left here? Would you, if you on Facebook, will you send this to everybody you on your list? I want 1,000 of you to send it to everybody on your list. I've got nearly 5,000 friends, supposedly. And if you're not one of those who listen to me, let me know. I want to take your name off and put somebody in there who wants to hear it. Because I'm sure some of you don't care about hearing it. You're just trying to keep up with me because you're curious. I don't want you being curious about me. I want you to hear the Bible. I want to be a blessing to you. Now, Sunday, tomorrow, in the morning, right here at Paul Creek, 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm preaching on the wedding in the sky. The wedding in the sky. Oh, woo! What a day. I hope you get stirred up and shook up, because I want so much to get you ready. I really do. Now, the number to call is 704-391-0588. I'm going to put the number up and just leave it for you here. I want you so much to keep calling, because I want to help you. I want to bless you, and I want to get you ready for the rapture. I want you to come Sunday, tomorrow. If you don't ever hear the book of Revelation, then come tomorrow and hear this one sermon. You don't have to come no more. Just come visit. You say, well, I don't dress like y'all. You don't need to dress like we dress. Just come. That's all I'm asking. You're not going to be judged or looked at narrowly or confusedly or critically, and nobody's going to say a word to you if you're dressed different from us. We're just old Bible-believing folks. That's all we are. We just love Bible holiness. That's all. We don't do nothing but what's in the book. There's nothing we teach but what's in that book. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. I really do. Hey, I want to see you tomorrow. I really do. I want a host of you who really need to hear the deeper things of God for a change. You need to hear some deeper things of God for a change. I would love to bless you. I would be honored to bless you. I'm telling you, you may be a whatever sinfulness. You may live in the heart throbs of sin. You come and listen. That's all you got to do. Come and listen. No, not to debate, not to argue, to hear what a man of God says, what the Bible says. And it'll try to be a blessing to you. We want to be a blessing to you. It's getting late, folks. It's getting late. Now, you can call. Keep on calling. Those ladies will stay in there as long as that phone rings. And give and send you this wonderful little booklet about Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And those things that I shared with you that are found in this are written. I typed them in this morning. Are in this booklet that will come off to you. And we just want to be a blessing to you. You just don't know how I want to be a blessing to you. You are important to me. I care about you. I want to minister to you. I want to be a blessing to you with all my heart. I want to be a blessing to you and bring the joy of the Lord to your life. I want you to grow in the Lord and become rich in His graces and His mercy. We care about you. You hear me? We care about you. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. My ladies are standing by for you. I love you. I love you.
I was standing one day, looking out on life's sea, and I saw in the distance she was coming for me. I heard laughter and singing, the closer she came, 'twas the old ship of Zion, my soul to claim. Then the captain, he met me with arms open wide, and he ever so gently took me inside. He said, "Son, I've been waiting just to take you on board. Now I'm anxious to show you your eternal reward. I'm so happy it's over. I'm so glad I made it through. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know what I'd do. It's been worth all the sorrow that I've suffered down here, just to see all the beauties He's prepared for us there. I'm so happy it's over. I'm so glad I made it. For Jesus, I don't know what I'd do. It's been worth all the
I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you.
Suffer down here.
Hallelujah.
Just to see all.